dear devotees, and good morning.
Hare Krishna, 亲爱的奉献者们, 大家早上好。
And welcome to our class on Preaching is the Essence.
欢迎大家继续来聆听我们的系列课程, 传播是精髓。
It's my great honor, good fortune, and privilege to welcome His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj.
特别荣幸也很幸运今天 欢迎 Devamrita Swami Maharaj 来到我们的节目。
Srila Prabhupada attracted many moons to his movement.
Srila Prabhupada 吸引了很多轮明月来到他的运动当中。
Devamrita Swami Maharaj is one of those moons.
Devamrita Swami Maharaj 就是其中的一轮明月。
Shortly after graduating from a very prestigious university in the United States, he received one of Prabhupada's books and was convinced.
Devamrita Maharaj 从世界名校毕业之后不久就得到了圣 Prabhupada 的一本书并且对其中的内容充满信心。
He joined ISKCON in the early 70s.
70年代初,Maharaj就加入了ISKCON.
Like many of the older devotees, he has done many, many services through the years.
就像很多其他的年长奉献者一样, Devamrita Maharaj多年来也从事了各种各样的奉爱服务。
I remember one of the first times I met him in the 70s, he was in Los Angeles working for the BBT.
我记得在 70年代的时候,我在洛杉矶见到他,他当时是在为BBT服务。
And of course, he has great literary skills. He's written a number of books.
当然他也有很大的文学天分,所以写了不少书。
A very innovative preacher.
是非常有创意的传教者。
In my humble opinion, and in the opinion of many devotees in ISKCON, he's a very brilliant and articulate speaker.
我认为，而且ISKCON的很多奉献者都一致认为，Maharaj是非常雄辩的一位公众演讲者。
He served as a governing body commissioner for many years.
他也做国际Krishna智觉协会管理委员会的主席很多年。
And of course, he is an initiating guru.
也是一位启迪灵性导师。
So, welcome, Devamrita Maharaj. Welcome.
再次欢迎Devamrita Maharaj.
I thank you, and may I live up to half of what you've said?
我希望我能达到你所介绍的一部分的内容。
Well, I only said 1%, so.
其实我介绍的部分只是 Devamrita Maharaj的成就的1%。
So devotees like to hear stories about how the early devotees joined. So could you share briefly how you were first introduced to Krishna consciousness?
奉献者都很喜欢听早期的奉献者是怎么样来到 Krishna 知觉当中的。 你可不可以也跟我们分享一下 您最初是怎么样被 Krishna 知觉吸引的, 怎么加入的?
Okay, you want me to embarrass myself, but for the sake of the pleasure of the devotees, I'll walk down that road.
说起来我倒有点觉得自取其辱, 觉得很不好意思, 但是为了取悦奉献者, 我还是愿意试一试。
You see, I was chanting Hare Krishna since birth and following all the four rules since birth, and then I just decided to become a devotee when I was 21. No, that's not true.
可以说是我从一出生就在遵守思想规范原则，从一出生就开始唱诵 Hare Krishna, 但直到 21岁 才加入了 Krishna Hare Krishna 运动。
Not true.
当然不是这样的。
Now, what he meant to say, he was already chanting in the womb. That's what he omitted that part of the story, but anyway.
All right. The first time I saw devotees, 1968, I was coming out of a concert. And I walked out and I saw, well, let me explain more detailedly. As I came out of the concert hall, something twisted my head and my head turned involuntarily. And there in front of my eyes was a devotee wearing saffron and walking barefoot through the center of the city.
1968年的时候有一次我刚从一个音乐厅出来不知怎么的好像是什么东西就将我的头转向一个方向然后我就自动转向那个方向看到一个穿着橘色长袍的橘色长袍的一个奉献者他赤着脚就行走在那个市中心。
And now, of course, I understand. That was Super Soul saying, this is what you should be doing. But I didn't act on that for some years.
那现在回头想，我觉得其实是超灵在指引我，其实我也应该走那条路，只是在多年之后，我才选择了那条道路。
During my university years, I used to wander in the Second Avenue area, thinking there's something here that I need to find.
其实我在上大学期间，我就有很多次经过26号大街第二大道，也就是圣帕巴迪第一次在纽约成立的那个中心。每次经过的时候，我就在想，到底他们在做些什么？是不是我也应该参与一些？
This was the time and the place, as you know, where Srila Prabhupada began ISKCON on 2nd Avenue in New York City.
纽约的26号大街第二大道，大家正如大家所熟知的，正是圣帕帕的在西方开始 Krishna 这支运动时所成立的第一个中心。
I was a music lover, so I was on my way to a concert in 1969.And a chanting party went by, and someone put a Back to Godhead magazine in my hand and said, give 25 cents. So I did.
我喜欢音乐，所以1969年的时候，又有一次我要正要去听一个音乐会，在路上呢就遇到一群唱诵的奉献者，其中一个人塞给我一本《回归神手》杂志，并且跟我说，只需要25美分。
I took the magazine to the concert I was going to and read it and thought, oh, love of God, this is very interesting.
我去参加音乐会的时候就带了这本书并且顺便也读了。我看到他在讲关于对神手的爱我觉得挺有意思的。
So that was that for a couple of years. Nothing.
也就这样过了几年也没有发生什么。
My last year,At university, I decided to study a course in Hinduism.
我在大学的最后一年，我决定选修一门课，是关于印度教的。
There's only one problem.
但只有一个问题。
This course, taught by a world-famous professor, met at 8 a.m. in the morning.
8 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a problem.
一个问题就是这个课是由一位世界名师来讲的。这个课程的时间是早上8点。
Because I normally refused to take any classes before 11 a.m.
一般我会拒绝去选择早上11点以前的课，但那个课是早上8点。
But I made the ultimate sacrifice because I was interested in Bhagavad Gita.
但因为我对博迦梵歌感兴趣，所以我还是做了一个这个选择，做了这个牺牲。
So I made the supreme sacrifice and went to the class, and I was dissatisfied because the professor basically said, I'm going to give you some reading assignments and I want to hear what your opinion is. In other words, I want you to speculate.
所以我就做了一个最大的牺牲，就去参加这个课程了。但是我对这个课程并不满意，因为那个教授基本上就是说，接下来我给你们一些阅读任务，然后你们来谈谈自己的想法，也就是在允许我们去思辨。
So I thought, I didn't get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to attend an 8 o'clock class just for someone to tell me to speculate. I could do that at 2 a.m. in the morning with no problem.
我就想，我才不需要七点起床，然后去争取参加一个八点的课。结果这个课程只是老师只是告诉我们去自己去读，自己去琢磨思辨。我要想自己思辨的话，我可以完全可以选择任何时候起床，两点起床也可以的。
So I decided not to take the course, but I would get all the books that the course recommended.
所以我就决定。不再上这个课程了，但是我会得到这个课程上推荐阅读的所有书目。
So I went to the university bookshop and got all the books, one of which was a version of Bhagavad Gita.
所以我就去了学校的学校的书店，得到了这个课程推荐的所有书目，其中一本就是薄伽梵歌的一个版本。
So I took it to my room and started reading it. And then as soon as I opened it, I turned to something that shocked me.
我就把这些书拿回家，然后翻到一页，开始读的时候，有东西就触动我了，让我感到很震惊。
The British person who was presenting Bhagavad Gita wrote in his commentary,that Krishna is a concept meant to satisfy both the intellectuals and the sentimentalists.
其中一个评论者就说Krishna 只是一个概念，就是为了满足那些思辨者和感情用事者。
Something in my heart told me, throw this book out!
我心里就有个东西，有个声音告诉我，把这本书扔出去吧。
So I threw it into the trash can, saying, "Just see how this British colonizer imperialist has ruined the native peoples of India's book."
所以，我就把这本书扔到了。垃圾桶里面，因为写这句评论的人是一个英国人，我扔到垃圾桶的时候，我就在想啊，你看看这些英国殖民者是怎样毁掉印度的文化的，印度的书籍的。
So I told myself, one day I'm going to find a real translation of this book.
当时我就告诉我自己，早晚有一天我要找到这本书的真正的翻译版本。
So.One month before I graduated, I decided to turn on the television for some relief because my roommate and I were preparing for our final exams.
我毕业前一个月，有一次我就打算打开电视机放松一会儿，因为当时我和我的室友我们正在准备期末考试。
And being top grade students, we would not watch television like the ordinary masses did.
因为我们可都是高材生，所以我们看电视也和普通大众看电视不一样。
We had to distinguish ourselves, of course.
我们得让自己显得与众不同，那是当然的。
So we would watch television with the volume turned all the way down, and then we would speculate on what was happening.
我们看电视的时候会把音量调到最小，然后我们自己边看，同时自己琢磨猜测着，到底是怎么回事。
But suddenly we saw these strange persons with shaved heads, mark on their forehead, strange clothes.
然后突然我们就看到一群很奇怪的人，他们穿着奇怪的奇装异服，然后头发剃光，额头上又有一个特别的标志。
So I said to my roommate, "We've got to turn up the volume. I can't figure out who these aliens are."
然后看到这一幕的时候，我就告诉我的室友们说。现在我们看我们得调高音量了，因为我实在猜不出搞不清楚这些外星人是谁。
They must be from another planet.
他们一定是来自另外一个星球吧。
So we listened as they described their lifestyle and the four rules that they follow.
然后我们调高音量之后就听到他们在介绍他们的生活方式，他们所追随的四项规范原则。
I was horrified when I heard about the four rules.
听到这四项规范原则，我简直是被吓坏了。
And they kept talking about bliss, Ananda. I learned that word then. Ananda, bliss, you'll be blissful, Ananda.
他们一个劲儿的在说 Ananda, Ananda, 喜乐，那是。那是我第一次学到这个词 Ananda.
So I turned to my roommate and said, "These people are fools."
然后我就跟我就跟我的室友说，这些人都可是蠢货。
They talk about Ananda. We'll invite them to one of our parties. We'll show them what Ananda is.
他们在说 Ananda 喜乐。我们倒是要把他们邀请到我们的团队来，让他们体验一下到底什么才是 Ananda。
8 months later I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram.
那这样8个月之后我居然到了 Brahmacharya Ashram。
What happened?
到底发生了什么呢？
1 month after I saw that TV show, I approached a book distributor in New York City.
因为那次自从在电视上看到奉献者讲述他们的生活方式之后，一个月之后我就在纽约市碰到了一位派书的奉献者。
I walked up to him. He didn't approach me. I approached him.
他倒是没有主动来找我派书，是我主动找上他的。
AndI said, "Well, what do you got there?"
我就问他说，你有什么书呀？
And he distributed to me a publication called The Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj.
他给我派了一本书叫做 Prahlad Maharaj 超然的教导。
So I took it to my friend's house.
我就把这本书拿到了我的朋友家。
AndWhile she was in the kitchen, I sat in the living room and started to read it.
她在厨房里做饭的时候，我就在客厅里面开始读了。
Should I add some details?
要不要我讲一些细节呢？
Please do. You're on a roll here. Go for it.
I didn't pay for the book.
这本书我没花钱。
I was a New York guy, you know?
我是纽约人。
I made my girlfriend pay for the book.
我就让我女朋友付的钱。
Which of course is to her eternal credit.
当然这个被记入了她的永恒的灵性账户了。给他积累了永恒的灵性积分了。
So now we're at her house. She's cooking in the kitchen unmentionable foodstuffs.
当时他就在厨房里面做饭，做什么我们就不提了。
And so I start reading, sitting on the couch in the living room, I start reading this book.
于是我就坐在客厅里面的沙发上开始读起这本书了。
I got to page 2 and I collapsed on the couch.
我读到第二页的时候我就倒在了沙发上。
Prabhupada was paraphrasing Prahlad Maharaj, that why should you work so hard just to get the same taste of sense gratification that the cats and dogs get?
因为第二页我就读到，是了 Prabhupada 在转述，Prahlad Maharaj 所说的一句话是这样的，说为什么你要辛辛苦苦的，拼命的努力工作，就是为了获得一些像猫狗所享受的那样的感官享乐呢？
When I read that, I felt like I had been hit in the chest with a nuclear bomb.
读到这一句的时候，我就感到一个，就是一个核炸弹直接击中了我的胸膛。
So, the young lady came running out of the kitchen. What's wrong? What's wrong? Because I was just slumped over on the couch.
当时我读到第二页这句话的时候，我就立刻瘫倒在了沙发上。我的女朋友就跑出来说：“怎么了？怎么了
？”What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, "Oh, nothing, nothing." I stood up, I sat up again. Nothing. Everything is fine.
我怎么了？怎么了？她说：“怎么了？怎么了？”我说：“没事。”然后我又直起身来，又坐起来了。
But to myself, I was thinking.I've got to find more books by this Swami whose name I can't pronounce.
当时，但我对我自己说，我一定要找到更多这个 Swami 所写的书。虽然当时我都叫不全他的名字。
So I went the next day, the very next day, I went to a part of New York City where I knew were bookshops that sold esoteric literature.
第二天我就去了纽约市的一个书店，因为我知道这个书店通常会卖一些奇奇怪怪的书。
And I bought a Bhagavad Gita as it is, teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
在那里我就买到了《薄伽梵歌》原译，还有主 Chaitanya 的教导。
So then I began reading Prabhupada's books very seriously, 4 hours a day.
就那时候我就开始认真地读圣普拉普哈德的书了，每天4个小时。
But I didn't want to associate with devotees. I just liked the books.
但是我不愿意和奉献者联谊，我就是爱书。
I thought the devotees were strange people who had no practical vision for the world, but their books were the best that I ever read.
因为当时我觉得那些奉献者都是很奇怪的人，又对这个世界没有一个实际的切合实际的了解，但是我觉得他们的书是我有史以来读到的书当中最棒的。
In my university days I had studied under the best intelligence in the world, but when I read Prabhupada's books I said I've never encountered anything like this before.
我在大学的时候教我的那些老师可是全世界最高级的知识分子，最智慧的人。但是当我遇到圣普拉巴德的书籍的时候，我由衷的感慨，我怎么从来没见到过遇到过这么好的书。
So I would order my books from in the mail from the BBT, so that way I wouldn't have to associate with devotees.
所以我就通过以邮件的方式预订了很多圣帕巴德的书，从 BBT 订的书，但是这样我就不用直接和奉献者打交道，和他们联谊了。
I get my books in the mail and I would read them 4 hours a day, every day.
就这样，我通过邮件来订了很多书，每天读4个小时，天天读。
I did this for 6 months.
连续6个月都是这样。
Then one day, I got a letter from the BBT saying that Srimad Bhagavatam in its first version produced in the West had now come out.
突然有一天，我收到 BBT 的一封信，告诉我说圣典薄伽瓦坛第一次在美国出版，新鲜出炉。
So I decided, I can't wait for this to come in the mail. The letter described that Srimad Bhagavatam is the encyclopedia of the spiritual world.
这封信当中就跟我描述说，圣典博加尔坛是有关灵性世界的百科全书。我就很激动，我就想，我可等不及他们给我邮过来。
It described how Srimad Bhagavatam took all the themes of Bhagavad Gita and expanded upon them.
信里面也给我介绍说，圣典博加尔坛包含了博加梵歌当中所有的主题，并且进行了进一步的延伸。
I said, wow, this is unbelievable. I've got to have this today.
读了这封信上的介绍，我就想，哇，这太不可思议了，我得今天就拿到书。
That meant I had to find a devotee. Uh-oh.
那这下我可真不得不找到奉献者，亲自去找奉献者了。
I knew that they were distributing books at a huge bus terminal in New York City.
我知道他们在纽约的一个地方，一个地方派书。
So I said, I've got to take a risk. I've got to approach one of them and get this Srimad Bhagavatam.
我就想，我得冒个险，得去找其中一个奉献者，得到圣典博加瓦坛。
So I saw a devotee there. It was a lady with sari, tilak. And so I walked up to her and I thought I was asking a common question.
我看到一位女士，她穿着纱丽，涂着提拉克，我就找她，那我就去找她。我想我问了一个还算比较常见的问题。
I walked up to her and said, do you have Srimad Bhagavatam?
我走上前去就问他说，你有圣典博加瓦坛吗？
Her mouth dropped, but then she was expert. She caught herself and said very calmly, oh, how do you know about that?
然后他很冷静很淡定地说，哦，你怎么知道这本书的？
I said, I'm not here to answer any questions. I just want the book. Tell me, do you have it or do you not?
我就跟他说，我不想回答你的任何问题，你就跟我说吧，你有没有？
And, but she wouldn't address that point. She started asking me questions like, what have you been doing? What have you been reading? How do you know about Srimad Bhagavatam?
他就是不回答我的问题，倒是不断的在问我问题，说你在读些什么书啊？你是怎么知道圣典博加瓦坛的？
And then she started telling me about how they were trying to get a new building in New York, and I probably had money and I could help.
然后她就开始跟我解释说，他们正在努力想在纽约市找一个地方建个楼，然后需要一些人赞助。他们说可能，跟我说可能你有一些钱能够帮上忙。
I told her.I never give anyone any money. I'm not going to start now.
我就跟他说，我从来不会给任何人钱的。
She kept pushing. You've read these books. You know how this is the greatest gift for the world. You should help us.
我说我从来没给过任何人钱，我也不会迈出这一步的。他又不断的在。跟我说，你读了那么多书，你知道这些书对整个世界的益处。
I refused, and this went on for 20 minutes.
就这样，持续了20多分钟，我还是拒绝他了。
Finally, I told her something that I thought would end the whole conversation.
后来我跟他说了一句话，我想这句话总算可以终止我们的对话了。
I said, even if I wanted to give you money, this is New York City. I don't carry money with me. It's all at my father's house.
我就跟他说，就算我想给你钱，现在也给不了，因为这是纽约市，我不会随身带现金的，钱在我父亲家。
And she shocked me.
他就很惊讶。
She said, let's go!
哦，他就对我大喊说：“那好，我们走，我们去你父亲家。
”Oh no! I couldn't stop her.
我简直是拦不住他。
So we got on the train. We went to where I lived, and I made her stay on the sidewalk while I got the elevator up to the 14th floor to where I lived.
然后我们就上了车，嗯，去我住的地方。然后我让她在门口等着我上的。摁了电梯去到了14楼，也就是我住的那一层。
Because I didn't want my family to see that I was speaking to such a strange looking girl.
因为我不想让我家人看到我在跟这么一个看上去这么奇怪的一个女孩在讲话。
So I came down the elevator and I handed her a check.Which in today's equivalent was $5,000.
所以我上楼拿了那一张支票，下楼之后就给到了他。那按现在的这个，按现在来算的话，是$5,000.
He looked at the check and said, "Thank you very much, but I'd like $10,000."
我给他了，但是$5,000。他拿到支票之后，他就说：“非常感谢，但是我需要$10,000。”
I was shocked. I said, "I've never given a penny in charity in my life. I've given you $5,000, and now you want $10,000."
我简直惊呆了。我在想啊，我这一辈子连一分钱都没布施过呢。我这下第一次给人布施，就给了$5,000，但是你却居然要$10,000。
She kept saying, "You've read these books, you know."
他不断的说，你读了这些书，你是懂的。
You read so many of our books, you know what to do.
你读了我们很多书了，你知道该怎么做了。
What can I say? I had no good answer to that.
我又能怎么说呢？我再想不出什么好的答案了。
So I went up to the 14th floor, came down again with another check.
我又上楼，给他又取了另一个支票。
So now I had given her $10,000.
现在我就给到了他$10,000。
And no book. She didn't have Srimad Bhagavatam. The book shipment hadn't arrived yet in New York City from the BBT.
但是他们没有圣典波迦瓦坦，书还没从 BBT 运到纽约呢。
2 weeks later, I happened to be going through the bus terminal again, on a journey to visit some friends.
两周之后，我又去到那个地方。因为我正好要去见一位朋友。
And the Sankirtan devotees in the terminal saw me. Ah, he's the one, he's the one.
他在那个车站的时候，那个Sankirtan的奉献者们，他们就认出了我说，就是那个人，就是那个人。
And, oh no, I'm not going through this again.
我就想啊，不不不，我这一回可不能卷进去了。
But I did. Again, I couldn't convince them. I had read too much of Prabhupada's books. Again, she went with me to my father's house.
所以我又被卷进去了。那个奉献者又跟着我去到了我父亲家。
Again, I came down with another check.
我又给他取下来一个支票。
Another $10,000.
又是$10,000.
And then I remember, she told me, "You've given so much money, you might as well come to the temple and see where your money is going to."
然后她告诉我说，你给我们布施了这么多钱，那最好你来我们庙里看看，你的钱是怎么被用起来的。
I thought, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I've given so much money, I should go check this place out. I've given $20,000. I've never even been there.
我听了这句话，我觉得，哎，是有挺有道理的呀。我已经给你们布施了2万美元了，我还不知道你们那发生着什么，我还没去过你们庙里，我去看看。
I've read the books, so I should go see the books in action.
书也读了，我现在得亲自去看看这些书是怎么样在实践当中展示出来的。
So I made the trip to the temple.
所以我就去了庙里。
I was very nervous.
特别紧张。
And as I walked up the steps to open the door to the temple, I had no idea what was going to happen.
那走上台阶打开庙门的时候，我根本不敢预想接下来根本不能预想接下来会发生什么。
As soon as I opened the door, there was a devotee who had the service of greeting the guests. He was waiting there.
那我打开庙门之后，就看到一个迎接客人的奉献者就在那里等着。
He immediately said to me, "Welcome, brother. You've come to the right place."
他马上就热情地欢迎我了，说，欢迎你，兄弟，你来到了对的地方。
Come on in. Take off your shoes. Go in the temple room. Move your feet to the music.
他就说，快进来，快进来，脱掉鞋子，来到庙里面，跟着音乐跳舞吧。
So,4 months later, I was living in the temple.
4个月之后，我就搬进庙里住了。
So all this happened because of Srila Prabhupada's books.
这一切的发生全都因为 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍。
I had never seen anything like that, those books, and I still have never seen anything like his books.
当时我觉得我从来没见过像 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍这么美妙的东西，直到今日，我依然是这样的结论。
So books have brought you to Krishna consciousness, and books have kept you in Krishna consciousness.
看来是圣普拉布华德的书籍把您带到了 Krishna 知觉当中，也把您留在了 Krishna 知觉当中。
So you said you first received the Back to Godhead magazine. Did you read that? And if so, did you have impressions about what you read?
Yes, I.
Translation.
您说到您第一个拿到的书是《回归神手》杂志，你也读了。那么你对读的内容还有印象吗？读的是什么呢？
I read it and thought it was very interesting. It talked about love of God.That was probably 3 years before I purchased Bhagavad Gita.
我读了回归神手杂志，因为我读到他们在讲关于对守神的爱，我觉得特别有意思。那3个月之后，我才买到了博家梵歌。
And I remember on the cover of the Back to Godhead magazine were what I thought were very beautiful young dolls.
我在回归神手杂志的封面上看到一个看到的那个画面，我觉得是一个特别漂亮的年轻的洋娃娃。
One doll was golden and the other doll was dark bluish.
一个是金色一个洋娃娃是一个娃娃是金色的，一个是蓝黑色的。
So that's what I remember.
这就是我留下的印象。
So when you got the Bhagavad Gita, was there a particular verse or phrase or purport or philosophical point that impressed you the most?
那您读到《博伽梵歌》的时候，《博伽梵歌》原译的时候，有没有哪个诗节、哪句话，或者说哪个词，要旨当中的某个内容，对您印象最深的
the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is, I found to be the most extraordinary literary work I had ever read, the most extraordinary knowledge I had ever encountered.
让我印象最深的是整部的博伽梵歌原意，整部的博伽梵歌原意都让我觉得这是最无与伦比的知识，是我从来没读到过的最非同寻常的知识。
To glorify Bhagavad Gita, let me give you more of a perspective of why I responded in that way.
为了借此机会荣耀一下博伽梵歌原意，那我跟大家说说为什么我会有这样的反应，这样的体验。
I had been an academic scholarship student since the age of 15.
我从15岁开始就进入了学术学习。
And then 4 years at one of the most elite institutions in the world.
从十五岁开始我就进入了学术机构进行学术性的学习，那个学校是全世界最好的精英学校之一。
I had seen the best minds that the Western world could offer.
在那个学校我见到了西方世界能够找到的最聪明的人。
I had studied under the professors who write the books that everyone else studies.
当时教授我的那些教授，他们写的书是所有人的教科书。
Still, when I read Bhagavad Gita, I said, there is nothing like what this Prabhupada is doing.
即便如此，当我读到圣普拉布帕的写的书的时候，我却由衷的感慨。没有人能够写出像 Prabhupada 这样的精彩的书了。
I had never encountered someone who could speak so comprehensively and authoritatively.
我还读了 Prabhupada 的书籍之后，我就感慨，我还从来没有遇到过一个人能够讲述的这么全面又这么的权威。
So please.Keep that in mind. This was my perspective. In other words, I had read it all. I had studied it all. Besides, I was a New Yorker. New Yorkers think they know everything.
大家知道纽约人是无所不知的，什么都懂。再加上又在这所名校里面接触到了全世界最聪明的人，读过他们所写的影响所有人的这些书籍，就这样。我得出的结论却是圣 Prabhupada 的书籍是我从来没有遇到过的最全面的最权威的书，所以请大家记住这句话。
So I was reading 4 hours a day every day for 6 months straight with no devotee association.
就这样在没有任何奉献者联谊的情况下，连续6个月每天坚持阅读4个小时。
All I knew was I love these books. There's nothing in the world like them.
我只知道我太爱这些书了。这个世界上没有什么东西能和这些书相比的了。
So I would come home from work every day and just read for 4 hours in the evening.
就那段时间，每天下班回家，我就傍晚的时候，我就连续在家读4个小时的书。
But no, I had no intention to be a devotee.
但是我还是没有意愿成为奉献者。
I didn't understand that by reading 4 hours a day for 6 months straight, I was already transformed.
虽然说连续6个月每天读4个小时，但是我还是没能理解读的内容，虽然说已经有发生转变了。
So then when I finally became a devotee, I understood I owe my life to Srila Prabhupada's books.
后来我终于成为奉献者之后，我觉悟到我的生命真的得归功于Srila Prabhupada 的书籍。
Well, that leads into the next question.
那这就引入了我们要问的下一个问题。
So for many of the newer devotees who might be listening this morning, what services have you performed through the years? I think a variety of services, but perhaps you can kind of like highlight the main ones.
今天早上听课的奉献者当中也有一些比较新的年轻的奉献者还不了解 Maharaj 这么多年都从事过什么样的奉爱服务所以我们也请 Maharaj 给我们介绍一下这么多年来他都涉猎过从事过什么样的奉爱服务
My first service after being a devotee for 3 weeks in the temple was full-time distribution of Prabhupada's books.
我的第一个服务也就是在庙里待了三周之后的第一个服务就是全职派发圣普拉巴德的书籍。
I traveled all over the USA distributing Srila Prabhupada's books.
在全美旅行派发圣普拉巴德的书籍。
And then, at the time,Srila Prabhupada was angry because his books were not being published quick enough. I went to the BBT.
之后，有一段时间，圣普拉巴特别的不安，特别生气，因为他的书籍的印刷，出版速度没有他预想的那么快，所以我就去到了 BBT.
And participated in the famous Chaitanya Charitamrita.Inconceivable marathon.
所以我就参与到了是 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的主 Chaitanya 亲这部书的不可思议的马拉松当中。
That was like, still, to this very day, we can't figure out how it happened.
我就参与到了永恒的主 Chaitanya 亲这本书的出版印刷的全过程这个过程真算得上是马拉松直到今天回想起来我都无法想象那是怎么发生的
Srila Prabhupada wanted 17 books a backlog of 17 books he wanted them published in 2 months
因为当时圣普拉布帕的要求我们把永恒的主柴坦尼亚经的17本书在2个月之内出版印刷出来。
Prior to that, the BBT had been giving Prabhupada one new book every 6 months.
那我告诉大家之前的速度是什么？之前 BBT 每6个月会给圣 Prabhupada 出版一本书。
And Prabhupada was not pleased at all with that.
这个速度圣 Prabhupada 根本一点都不高兴。一点都不满意。
And he began to let the ISKCON leaders know.
他就开始告诉 ISKCON 的领导者们。
And they panicked, and they gathered, the managers got together and came up with a plan how to satisfy Prabhupada.
所有的领导者都惊慌失措，他们聚集起来，一起商量，到底怎么样才能够取悦，满足圣 Prabhupada。
And they were so proud of this plan.
他们商量出一个计划，并且为他们的计划感到很自豪。
Instead of giving Prabhupada one new book every 6 months, they had a plan to give him one book every month. Hari Bol!
他们的计划就是我们以后不能再每6个月才给圣 Prabhupada 一本书了。我们的计划是以后每一个月都要给圣 Prabhupada 一本书。
That's 6 times the speed.
我们的速度已经加速了6倍了。
Surely Prabhupada would be satisfied.
当时就想了，这下圣 Prabhupada 一定会满意的。
What was Prabhupada's response?
圣 Prabhupada 是怎么回应的呢？
No, I want 17 books in 2 months.
圣普拉巴说不，17卷书，2个月出版出来。
You try to understand how inconceivable this is.
大家想象一下，这是多么的不可思议。
And the devotees felt like their spiritual life was on the, was being tested to the core.
所有在场的奉献者觉得，嗯，他们的灵性生命这下真的得到了考验。
How could you argue with Prabhupada?
你怎么能够跟圣 Prabhupada 去辩论，去讨价还价？
You couldn't tell him I'm going to get another guru because there was just Prabhupada.
你也不能说我换个 guru, 因为当时只有 Prabhupada 的一个 guru.
I'm going to get a sixth guru.
你当时也不能说我去我还是去找个 sixth guru, 找个训士 guru 吧。
It's just Prabhupada and you had to deal with him.
因为当时的 guru 就只有圣 Prabhupada, 你就得面对他。
So the devotees, their brains just exploded.
奉献者们简直是脑洞大开。
And these were like top manager type devotees. And they knew, this is impossible, it makes no sense. They couldn't say that though.
他们当时的奉献者可都是高级管理的奉献者，高层管理的奉献者。他们觉得这根本是不可能的，这个根本是没有道理的，但是这么想，但是他们不能这么告诉圣 Prabhupada。
It's like your Guru Maharaj says to you, as he points to dry land, that this is the ocean, now swim.
就像是你的灵性导师，你的 Guru Maharaj, 面对着一片那旱地，一片干地，告诉你说，这是一片海洋，你就在里面游泳吧。
This is unbelievable.
这是难以置信的。
So they had to come out of their shock very quickly.
虽然说震惊至极，但是他们得迅速的恢复常态。
And the next day, they started to embrace the order of the spiritual master.
第二天他们就完全的接受了他们灵性导师的这个训令。
I wonder what devotees today would do if their spiritual master told them such a thing.
我在想啊，今天的奉献者当听到他们的灵性导师告诉他们这样一个训令的时候会怎么做。
Let me confirm this with my Shiksha Guru.
奉献者肯定会说，那我还是和我的 Shiksha Guru 和我的训士 Guru 再确认一下吧。
And indeed, devotees, these top managers told Prabhupada, this is impossible!
其实当时那些高级的管理的奉献者们还真是跟沙帕巴德这么说的，说不可能。
And Prabhupada gave them the famous reply, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary.
圣 Prabhupada 的那句回复就成了现在我们所熟知的最有名名的圣 Prabhupada 的名言之一。他说，不可能是愚人字典里的词汇。
So the job had to be done and devotees were working at the BBT round the clock 7 days a week 24 hours
就这样，奉献者不得不拿下这个服务，拿下这个工作。他们就连 BBT 就开始连轴转，每天24小时，每周七天，持续不断的在奋斗。
My service was to be the final editor for Chaitanya Charitamrita, the final English editor.
当时我的服务是做永恒的主产坦尼亚清英文版本的最后一轮校对工作。
That meant reading Chaitanya Charitamrita 12 hours a day to see that there were no mistakes.
做这个校对服务意味着什么呢？意味着我每天要读12个小时的永恒的主产坦尼亚清，确保没有一个错误。
It's like taking a final exam in physics or mathematics 12 hours a day, every day.
这就像是在考数学 或者是物理的期末考试一样，一天一连12小时。
I couldn't read just for drinking up the nectar. I had to read analytically.
当时阅读时候的心态可不是去喝饮这个超然甘露的心态去而是要带着一种分析的思维去阅读。
And there was so much pressure. No mistakes, no mistakes.
而且又面临着重重的压力，一直要确保一定不能有错，一定不能有错。
After 2 months, amazingly, the books were done.
奇妙的是，2个月之后，我们把所有的书出版了出来。
Today, those who were part of that team still can't understand how it happened.
直到今日，曾经参加到那个永恒的主裁判尼亚金的出版团队当中的奉献者，还是无法想象到底是怎么做到的。
The situation was like an inconceivable energy descended.
那个当时的情形就好像是有不可思议的能量突然骤降。
And so, I remember what happened when the final book was presented to Srila Prabhupada, the advanced copy straight from the printer.
我还记得当时我们把最终的印刷出来的版本呈现给圣普拉布帕德的时候的情形，那是刚刚从印刷厂印刷好的。
The deadline Prabhupada gave was his Vyasa Puja ceremony.
圣普拉布帕德给我们的截止时间是他的维亚萨普加庆典仪式之前要我们做好。
He was in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir.
当时圣普拉帕在 Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir.
So the devotee got the advanced copy from the printer in the USA and flew to India.
奉献者们在美国印刷好所有的永恒的主裁判尼亚金之后，拿上就从美国飞到了印度。
Landed in Delhi, took a taxi to Vrindavan.
在德里落地，然后乘上出租车就去到了 Vrindavan.
Entered the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and Prabhupada had just gotten off the Vyasasan and was heading back to his room.
他们进入到文达文，看到正好看到，他们到的时候看到史拉帕帕的正从他的维亚萨座上起身下来，往他的房间走去。
So Prabhupada entered his room, and the devotee triumphantly entered behind him.
圣帕帕进入了他的房间，然后刚刚到达的奉献者们都看到这下。已经取得了成功，他们就很兴奋地跟在圣普拉帕德的身后。
The devotee offered his dandavats and then triumphantly said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, here it is, the final volume, we did it, here it is.
他们感觉是真是凯旋归来，所以就五体投地地拜倒在圣普拉帕德的面前说圣普拉帕德您要的所有的书都已经给到你了。
Prabhupada took the book very calmly.
圣普拉帕德很从容地接过了书。
And looked at the devotee.
然后看着奉献者们。
And said very calmly.
然后又很淡定地说。
Oh, you have promised before the Vyasa Puja ceremony. Now it is after.
他说哦，你们可答应是在我的 Vyasa Puja庆典之前做好的，现在维亚萨普加庆典已经结束了。
That was it.
就是这样。
What would you have done? Well, Gumaraj, I gave you my whole life. I've surrendered so much, and this is the response I get.
要是你们收到这样的回应，你们会有什么样的反应呢？ Guru Maharaj, 我已经把所有的我的生命都交给了你，我已经哎付出了一切，结果我得到的就是这个回应。
Where's my recognition? Where's my emotional reciprocation?
你就不给我一些情感上的回应吗？不给我一些认可吗？
That was it.
就是这样。
Until the night.
直到晚上的时候。
And that night, Prabhupada wrote a letter to the BBT.
那天晚上，圣普拉帕达写了一封信给 BBT。
And he ended the letter by saying, "By this effort, you'll all go back to Godhead."
在这封信的结尾处，圣普拉帕达写了一句话：就因为你们的这一份努力，你们所有人都会回归守神的。
Sometimes devotees ask, well, not every one of those devotees on that marathon is active in Krishna consciousness.
有时候也有奉献者会质疑说参与到那次永恒的主彩坦尼亚经的出版服务马拉松当中的奉献者当中并不是每一位都在 Krishna 知觉当中很活跃呀。
But Prabhupada said that they'd all go back to Godhead. What happened?
但是圣普拉帕达说了他们都会回归守神的。所以会怎样呢？
The guru puts the ticket in your hand, but you have to hold on to it.
Guru 把回归守神的机票已经塞到了你的手里，你得握紧了。
If you drop the ticket or throw it away, what can the guru do?
如果你把机票扔了，或者不小心掉了，guru又能怎样呢？
Prabhupada's mercy is there, but you have to do your part.
Prabhupada 的仁慈已经到位了，但你得做到你应该做的。
So that was the extraordinary Chaitanya Charitamrita marathon, which to this very day no one can figure out how it happened.
这就是非同寻常的永恒的主彩坦尼亚经 Chaitanya Charitamrita 马拉松的体验，直到今日我们。也没有任何人能够明白那是怎么做到的。
Wow. What a story.
多么精彩的一个故事。
So, from what you've said so far, at least to me, it's quite obvious. If I was to say your favorite two services would be number one, to publish Prabhupada's books, and secondly, to distribute them.
刚刚有问到您在您所做的服务当中哪个是您最喜欢的？那从您刚刚的描述来看，这是显而易见的。可以说，您最喜欢的服务，第一就是出版圣普拉巴达的书籍，第二就是派发圣普拉巴达的书籍，是这样吗
？If you get a chance to do one of those services or both, grab it.
如果你有机会读到有机会做刚刚说到的服务当中的任何一个出版还是派发圣帕巴的书籍这两个服务当中任何一个你要得到机会你就一定要抓紧了
Take that opportunity so seriously
一定要认真的把握好这个机会
Should I briefly tell them about the Iron Curtain days, or that's...
Well, I was thinking, because I wanted to ask you about different ways that you had distributed Prabhupada's books through years. You said your first, after 3 weeks, you were out there on the streets distributing. But I know that your distribution route has taken many twists and turns through the years.
Yes, how does one... Go on.
我想问一问您派书的一些技巧和经验。我也知道这么多年您在派书的过程当中也遇到一些起伏。
I would say, without giving names, perhaps... You could just describe the situation,
let us say that there were parts of the world where there were restrictions against Prabhupada's books. How was that? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. 那你考虑到一些政治上的敏感度，我们就不提那个具体那个地方的具体的名字了。我只能这么说，在历史某一个历史时期，有一个地区是严格的严厉的抵制圣帕巴德的书籍的。
As in atheistic governments, oppression, and so on and so forth.
那再说具体一点，就是这地区呢又是充满着无神论的，而且政府又有各种的限制等等。
On a far away from where you are.
当然，离你们所在的地方很远。
So, Prabhupada said that if his books are distributed in such places, there'll be a transformation.
圣普拉巴说过，如果在这样的地方，他的书籍能够得到派发的话，一定会有巨大的转变的。
Which sounded, again, inconceivable.
这听上去又是一件很不可思议的事情。
And so, upon Prabhupada's departure, I knew that there wouldn't be the same marathon pace of BBT work in English.
圣普拉巴离世之后，我就明白，BBT 的印刷速度不再会像以前那样马拉松时候的那个速度了，至少在英文方面。
I was used to such an intense pace, 24/7, 2 years, 3 years straight.
因为我已经习惯了那种圣帕巴在的时候的那种高强度的速度了，也就是每天24小时一周7天，这样连续3年那样的高强度的印刷出版速度了。
I came from New York to Los Angeles to do that service, but I never saw anything in the city of Los Angeles for 3 years.
我从纽约来到洛杉矶来做这个服务，但是103年我没有看到这样的速度。
All I did was go from the BBT building across the street to the temple and back and forth. That was it. That's all of Los Angeles I ever saw for 3 years.
就是那连续三年就是这样的一个高强度的速度。那连续三年我的生活节奏就是2点一线，从庙宇到洛杉矶的 BBT， 每天来回这两个地方。
So after Prabhupada's departure, I needed something of that same intensity.Some service.
在圣帕巴的离开之后，我就热切的感受到我渴望再次能够得到那样的高强度的服务节奏。
So there was a part of the world, as His Holiness Giridhari Swami describes, that had obstacles for printing and distributing Prabhupada's books.
所以我就去到了一个地方。那就像圣 Giridhari Swami Maharaj 描述的，那是一个世界上一个有很困难印刷和派发圣帕巴的书籍很困难的那个地方。
And as I said, Prabhupada stated that if his books were distributed there, there would be a massive transformation.
就像我刚刚说的，圣 Prabhupada 曾经有说，如果在那个地方能够派发他的书籍能够被派发出去的话，一定会在这个地方引起巨变的。
So I took up that service.
所以我就接受了这个服务。
And in these countries, in that other part of the world, if we could distribute one book, we were ecstatic.One book.
在那个国家，在那个地方，如果我们能够派出去一本书，我们都感到极端的狂喜。
That's how difficult the situation was.
就是这么难。
But by persistence, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, after about 5 years, we figured out how to distribute thousands of books.
但是因为我们坚持不懈的努力，也更是因为主 Chaitanya 的仁慈，五年之后我们就想出了办法，派出了成千上万本书。
I remember the reactions of the devotees in those countries upon receiving the books for distributing.
Who are distributing?
The reactions of those devotees who received the books.
Okay. 我还记得当时那个国家的奉献者他们收到他们得到这些书籍时候的反应。
They would go out to distribute the books in the middle of the winter, and they were so happy, the tears were freezing to their cheeks.
他们大冬天的，那里的奉献者得到书的是什么反应呢？大冬天的，他们就会跑出去派书，派出书去之后，他们的眼中会流出喜悦的泪水，泪水都会在那样的寒冬的季节结成冰挂在他们的脸颊上。
That's how happy they were. They were crying, and it was so cold the tears would freeze to their cheeks.
这就是他们派发圣帕瓦书籍之后的狂喜，他们是那么的喜极而泣，泪水都结成了冰。
And the people were paying for Prabhupada one Bhagavad Gita, one Krishna book, the people were paying 1 month's salary.
那时候那里的人会花他们一个月的工资来买圣帕帕的一本博加三个原意或者是 Krishna book, Krishna 快乐的源泉。
The people were so hungry for some relief.
那里的人呢是那么的渴望他们的痛苦能够得到减缓。
So that was a very extraordinary time in world history.
这是世界史上很特别的一个时期。
And Prabhupada's prediction was true.
圣 Prabhupada 的预言成为了现实。
Even today, the intelligence agencies of some countries say,We were caught totally off guard by this massive transformation. We actually don't know how it happened.
直到现在，世界上的一些情报局都无法搞明白，当时我们是怎样把大量的书籍运送过去的。
So I know that Prabhupada's books.And cause such massive transformations.
现在但是我知道圣 Prabhupada 的书籍必将是能够产生这样的巨大的转变。
And so it's an unforgettable experience for me.
对我来说这是永远难忘的一个体验。
And I hope that every devotee can have this experience in some kind of way.
我也希望所有的奉献者能以某种方式体验到类似的这种体验。
Hare Krishna.
So Prabhupada said, by distributing the books, there would be a transformation. And I fast forward to in more recent years, in those places now,There are how many devotees? Translation.
圣帕帕说了，他的这些书籍能够派发到那些最困难的地方的话，一定会引发巨变的。那么您去尝试派发书籍的这些最艰难的地方，他们现在已经有多少奉献者了呢
？In many of those countries.There are more devotees than anywhere else in the world except India.
在那些那那个地区的很多国家，他们的奉献者的数量比全世界任何地方都多，除了印度。
So many, many, many devotees.
Thousands upon thousands.
可以说是数以千万计的。
嗯。So you have, well, you've been a devotee for so many years. If you could say, what has been your, excuse me, your prime motivation to remain a devotee and continue to render devotional service, despite many challenges that, you faced through the years. What has kept you going with so much determination, commitment, enthusiasm?
您做奉献者也已经这么多年了，在多年的奉爱服务的过程当中，也肯定遇到过很多的挑战。那到底是什么样的原动力，让你能够这么多年保持着一如既往的决心和热情，在从事奉爱服务呢？
First of all, love for Srila Prabhupada's books.
首先是对圣普拉普帕的书籍的钟爱。
And then, love for chanting Hare Krishna.
其次是对唱诵 Hare Krishna 的钟爱。
And then the third development would be love for Prabhupada's followers.
第三个就是对圣普拉普帕的追随者的钟爱。
Those three things develop one after another.
这三样东西是逐一培养起来的。
So the books have played such an important role in your development.
看来书籍圣帕巴达的书籍在您的整个成长这些不同的爱的发展过程当中起到了很大的作用。
You see,Prabhupada's books have the 100% cooperation of the super soul.
因为我们是知道的，圣帕巴达的书籍是在超灵的100%的配合下完成的。
I knew, coming from my academic background, that there are books that have better and more polished English.
从我的学术背景来看，学术经验来看，从语言的英语语言的纯熟度来看，有比圣普拉帕德的书籍的语言更美的一些书籍。
Better vocabulary, Prabhupada's English vocabulary is limited.
我知道有更多的书籍的词汇量，还有词汇的使用。比圣帕巴达的更精彩、更丰富的，圣帕巴达的书籍当中的词汇是很有限的。
But the potency, that is what is so extraordinary. The potency that comes through Srila Prabhupada's words.
但是圣帕巴达的言语间流露出来的力量，渗透出来的力量却是无与伦比的，非同寻常的。
It's true that just by reading one line, your whole life can change.
只是阅读圣帕巴书籍的一行，就足以改变你的生命，这是真的。
I remember in Melbourne, Australia, Srila Prabhupada said a very astonishing thing.
我记得在澳大利亚墨尔本的时候，圣帕巴的说了一句很惊人的一句话。
He said, if someone just takes one of his books in their hand,
他说如果有人只是把他的书捧在手上
presented by a book distributor,
一位派书的奉献者把书放到他的手上
and that person looks at the book, holds it and says, oh, nice, nice, not today.
这个人可能接过书翻了翻书、哦、挺好挺好但是今天我不能要。
Prabhupada said that just by that appreciation, that person gets a human form of life in their next birth.
圣帕巴德说，这个人仅仅是因为他翻了书，而且说了很好，做出了这么一点点的对这个书的欣赏，他都能确保他下一世一定能够再次得到人的躯体。
He knew the extraordinary potency of his books, and often he would say, I didn't write them, Krishna wrote them.
圣帕巴德明白他的书籍的灵性力量，所以他往往会说，这些书不是我写的，是 Krishna 写的。
Sometimes he would have devotees read to him from his books.
他经常，他有时候会让奉献者来读他的书，读给他听。
And he would say, of listening, he would say, I didn't write this, Krishna wrote this.
他边听他写过的这些书，边评论道，这些书不是我写的，是 Krishna 写的。
And he would say that if you want to know, Prabhupada would say, if you want to know him, then you read his books.
他说，如果你们想了解他，你们就去读他的书。
So, I wanted to know him. And he said, reading his books is the best way to associate with him.
他说，我想了解 Prabhupada， 我想了解他，所以我愿意去读他的书。他也说了，读他的书是最好的和他联谊的方式。
Better than physical association.
这比和他的亲身联谊更好。
And you can have that same experience.
你们也能够获得同样的体验的。
So I wish that all of you would have that experience increasingly.
我希望你们所有人都能够越来越多的有这样的体验。
We know Prabhupada often met book distributors, thinking of a story of devotees from Germany, Sankirtan devotees coming into Prabhupada's room in Mayapur, offering their dandavats, I mean literally falling like sticks one after the other, boom, 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 right on the floor. And then Prabhupada asked some simple questions, which they couldn't answer, and Prabhupada got quite upset, and he said, you're not just supposed to distribute the books, but you need to read them.
我们知道圣帕巴德经常会接见那些全世界的派书的奉献者。有一个很有名的故事，就是有一次来自德国的一些派书高手来玛雅坡见圣帕巴德，他们见到圣帕巴德之后呢，一个一个的就像棍子一样就这样倒下去跪拜圣帕巴德。但是当圣帕巴德问到一些他书里面的很简单的基本的哲学问题的时候，他们居然回答不上来。圣帕巴德非常的生气，说你们不光要派书，还得读书。
The mantra that I give devotees is love to read Prabhupada's books and love to distribute them.Both things.
我给派书奉献者的一个 mantra， 一个口号就是，对于圣帕巴德的书籍，我们要爱读书，爱派书。
If you love to read them, you'll be enthusiastic to distribute them.
爱读书才会有热情，爱派书。
And you can read them over and over again, and you'll go deeper and deeper and deeper into the Krishna experience.
圣帕巴德的书籍需要我们一次又一次的反复阅读，每次阅读都会进入的更深，有更深的 Krishna 直觉的体验。
It's not that, oh, I've mastered all the information.
并不是说你已经读了，我已经掌握了里面讲的信息了。
No, this is transcendental knowledge, non-material knowledge.
并不是这样的， 因为这些全都是超然的知识，不是物质的知识。
The more you read with devotion, the greater realizations you get.
越是带着更多的奉爱去阅读，越能够获得更多的觉悟。
So this is life that Lord Chaitanya has given us. Mahaprabhu has given us Prabhupada's books.
这就是主 Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给我们的生命，他给了我们圣 Prabhupada 的书籍。
You can read Bhagavad Gita over and over and over again, and each time you go deeper and deeper.
博伽梵歌这本书你可以一次又一次一次又一次的反复去读，每一次都会有更深的体验。
Please remember that.
所以请记住这句话。
Could you speak a little bit about your present service, your overseeing the Australian BBT, and also a little bit about your innovative preaching with your centers like that?
Okay, what I'm going to request, Maharaj, if you could just give me 2 minutes.
Sure.
You bless the devotees with your words.
Yes, I understand. Not a problem.
刚刚就是有问请马哈拉什讲一讲他能负责澳大利亚 BBT 的服务的时候的经历，还有请他讲一讲有关他是怎么样用各种创新的办法去传教的。马哈拉什稍微离开2分钟，一会儿马上回来，大家请稍等。
So Devamrita Maharaj makes a nice point, one that we also often advocate, and that is that you have to do both. You have to read Prabhupada's books. I like to use the word study. Study Prabhupada's books daily. And if you do so, then you'll have the enthusiasm to distribute them.
Devamrita Maharaj 刚刚跟我们讲到两个重点，一个就是爱读书，第二个要派书，这两件事我们要同时去做，让你去每天去读。我更愿意用研习这个词，每天认真的研习圣帕巴德的书籍，你才会有动力，有热情去派发书籍。
That is not just important, it's essential.
这不光是重要，而且是必不可少的，很关键的一点。
So back to you, Maharaj.
Yes.So your question, your first question was...
Oh, it's kind of two in one. Your present service with the BBT and also something about innovative, your preaching with the lofts and all of that.
Yes. Right now, I'm overseeing the Australia-New Zealand BBT, and my particular focus in doing that is onShastra production and books meant to stimulate an interest in Krishna. Introductory books meant to stimulate an interest in Krishna, as well as classic Vaishnava Shastras.
目前我负责的是澳大利亚 BBT 还有新西兰的 BBT。那我的关注点主要是经典书 Vaishnava 经典书籍的出版，还有就是一些过渡性的书籍，能够激发大众对 Krishna 的兴趣的一些过渡性书籍的出版。
We like new titles at this BBT, and we try to serve senior Vaishnavs who are able to.Write books that can benefit the non-devotees and also that can benefit the devotees.
那在我们所负责的这个 BBT, 我们挺喜欢一些新书的。我们希望我们很欢迎一些年长的奉献者写一些欢迎他们来 写的一些书，他们写的这些书不光有针对奉献者的，还有针对一些暂时不是奉献者的人。
So we publish quality translations of shastras by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
我们有出版，就是高质量翻译的作品，比如说 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami。
And we also publish general interest books for introducing people to the bhakti knowledge.
我们也出版了一些，针对社会大众的一些一些读物，把普通大众介绍的这种 bhakti 的Bhakti 的传统当中的一些过渡性书籍。
Right now we're working on a book by His Holiness Krishna Kshetra Swami.
目前我们在做的是 Krishna Kshetra Swami Maharaj 的一本书。
I asked him to write a small book that could explain what our deity worship is all about to someone who knows nothing about it.
我请 Krishna Kshetra Maharaj 写了一本书，让他写这本书呢，用比较短的篇幅写一本小书，对一个对神像崇拜一无所知的人，来介绍神像崇拜是什么。
At Oxford University, he did his PhD on the subject of Vaishnava deity worship.
因为他的。他的博士，他读博士的时候的一篇论文就是有关 Vaishnava 传统，梵爱宗传统当中的神像崇拜仪规。
And so I asked him to convert that PhD work into something that the generally educated person would be able to relish.
那是他的一篇博士，论文，我就请他把那本那篇文章，他的论文做一些改编，变成普通大众，一般受过教育的人，普通大众能够读懂、能够明白的书。
Because, as you know, depending on your background, when you first see deities, you really don't understand what is this.
因为每个人他的接受的教育背景、文化背景是不一样的。有很多人可能第一次听到神像这个词，他都没办法明白是怎么回事。
Are these idols? Are they statues? Or works of art? What's going on here? Everyone's bowing down to them.
一听到神像，他们就会质疑：神像和偶像是一回事吗？神像是不是雕像啊？没有人会对雕像顶拜呀。
Christians think they're idols. Non-religious persons think they're just statues.
基督徒会说，那神像就是偶像喽。然后一些没有宗教信仰的人会觉得，这个他们所说的神像也就是雕像而已。
So he's written a small book entitled "Krishna's Wonderful Form: A Guide for the Perplexed."
所以 Krishna Kshetra Maharaj 写了一本书叫做 Krishna 美妙的形体，对困惑之人的困惑者的指南。
I'm hoping that this book will help our outreach because persons from outside IndiaHave a hard time understanding what is the deity worship when they first encounter it.
我希望这本书呢，能够帮助到我们做一些对外传教的工作，因为印度之外的很多人，他们是没有办法明白什么是神像，什么是神像崇拜的。希望这本书能够帮到他们理解。
As for what?People in China think when they first hear about deities, but you know better than I.
那 中国人，比如说中国人第一次听到神像会是什么样的反应？你们可能肯定是比我了解的更多。
Something about the loft program, perhaps?
You see,
请您再讲一讲您的一些创新的传教项目。
Yes. That would probably have to be my last point.
Please.
So, I looked at the outreach in countries like Australia, New Zealand, the USA, the UK.
因为我看了一下澳大利亚、新西兰、美国还有英国的一些对外传教的节目项目。
And I saw that the people are not immediately temple-centric or immediately attuned or wanting to immediately come to a temple.
那我观察和研究了一下这几个各国家他们的一些对外传教活动的进展状况，我发现很多人是没有办法，是不能够立即接受以庙宇为中心的生活方式，立即就进入到庙宇生活的模式的。
So I wanted to set up places where people could approach Krishna consciousness in a non-temple way.
所以我就想要做这样的一种模式，或者说创造这样一种环境，让人们能够以在一个非庙宇的环境下接触到 Krishna 之觉。
I remember how before Prabhupada's departure, probably 1976, he had His Holiness Tamal Krishnamaraj send a letter to all the temples.
我记得在圣 Prabhupada 的离世之前，也就是大概在1976年的时候，圣 Prabhupada 请 Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj 向全世界所有的庙宇发了一封信。
And the letter said that now we have enough temples.
这封信里面有说到，我们现在已经有足够的庙了。
And Prabhupada said that we want, basically he said we want a different setup. How about, he was presenting like a restaurant with an area where people could read his books, and in this way, we wouldn't be so temple so insistent that people first come to the temple and that's what their entryway to bhakti is.
那当时圣帕帕就说，现在我们已经有足够的庙宇了，那能不能想出新的办法，新的一个环境，让人们能够接触到 bhakti 奉爱之徒，比如说餐厅，或者比如说书吧，类似的一个地方，让人能够放松的坐下来读我的书，而不是让每个人第一步接触 bhakti 之徒的第一步就是进庙。
So I always remember that message that Prabhupada's secretary sent out on behalf of Prabhupada, even though it was 1976, way long time ago. I always remember that.
虽然说这封信是很久以前的事情了，圣帕帕请他的秘书，就是代表他来说的这句话，但是这句话我却一直铭记在心。
So wherever I get the opportunity, we set up these places where people can come and they're like lounges where there's prasad, there's seminars, there are workshops, and people can just learn about bhakti without having to take on the whole temple scene right from the start.
所以在每一个有条件有机会做的一个环境下，我都会建立这样一个环境，就是让人们能够放松的坐下来，那个地方就有点像一个休息室啊，或者是等候厅， 人们可以放松地待在那里，然后那里我们会提供 Prasadam， 会有圣帕巴德的书籍，还有其他的元素。那这样的话，人们就可以很轻松地接触到 Bhakti 的文化，而不是直接一头扎进庙里。
I noticed that people like to eat, they like to socialize, they like to chat, they like a good atmosphere, they like to relax.
因为我注意到了，人们都喜欢吃吃零食、社交、聊聊天、放松放松。
So how to create an environment like that where they can gradually be introduced to bhakti?
所以我就在想，怎么样能够营造这样一个环境，让人们能够逐步的被带到 bhakti 的文化当中来。
So I thought, let's make a transcendental version of a nightclub.
所以我们就想，我就想，那好吧，我们来做一个超然版的夜总会。
There's food, there's music, there's a happy atmosphere.
有美食。
All for the sake of coming in touch with Krishna.
有美食，有音乐。有放松愉快的氛围，但是所有的这一切都是指向将他们导向 Krishna 的。
So wherever I get the opportunity, I try to do such things, and I've been doing it for a quarter of a century, and I see that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, so many persons have come to bhakti in that way.
所以呢，每到一处，每当有这样的机会的时候，我就会营造这样的一个场所，会就是建设这样一个场所，营造这样的氛围。这个模式我已经做了25年多了。借着主柴丹尼亚的仁慈，我也看到了这么做的有效性，很成功。很多人就是通过这样的方式来到 Bhakti 的传统，接触到 Bhakti 的文化的。
Rather than our demanding, come to the temple, bow down to the deity.
而不是我们传统的一种传教模式，来庙里向神像顶拜。
Sit on the cold marble floor and try to sit with, you know, and try to sit like a yogi.
不是强迫人坐在来了就坐在冰冷的大理石地板上。然后像瑜伽室一样久坐。
No, we make it like a cafe with tables, chairs, couches, lounge type situation.
我们把，所以我们做的方式就是营造一个特别的放松的一个休闲的环境，比如像一个咖啡厅一样，有桌子，有椅子，还有长椅，有沙发。就像整个是一个休息厅的氛围。
Our motto is this.
我们的口号座右铭是这样的。
We make it easy.
让事情变简单。
We make it easy to approach bhakti.
让人简单的接触到 bhakti.
We make it easy to grow in bhakti.
简单的在 bhakti 当中成长。
And we make it easy to distribute bhakti to others.
简单的，向别人派发 bhakti.
For newcomers who are not Indian, when they go to one of our temples for the first time or so, it's like we make it difficult.
我刚刚说的我们的宗旨或者是原则就是简单。简单的让人接触，简单的让人成长，简单的让人去派发。但是我们传统的庙宇式的这种方式，让一个非印度文化的人就很难去接触去成长。
But we want to reach persons who are not simply Indian. Bhakti is meant for the whole world.
因为 Bhakti 本来奉爱的程序本来就是针对全世界所有人的，所以我们不想把我们的对象目标指向印度文化当中的人。
So, this is what I try to do besides my BBT work.
这就是我除了在 BBT 的服务之外，我在尝试做的传教服务。
And in this lounge or cafe transcendental atmosphere, we focus on distributing sets of books.
在这样的放松的咖啡厅或者是休闲厅的环境当中，我们重点依然放在了派发大量的成套的书籍。
If you want to be part of this transcendental nightclub scene, you got to get a full set of Prabhupada's books. That's what's going on at this nightclub.
我们的这个超然的夜总会当中，你如果想加入我们的话，你就得请一套圣帕巴德的书籍。所以这就是我们的超然的夜总会所做的事情。
So in this way, we try to do some humble service.
我们就这样以这种方式在做着一些卑微的服务。
And my last question.
那接下来就到了我的最后一个问题。
What message or advice would you like to give to the devotees, especially younger devotees, on how to remain enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness and inspired to both read and distribute Prabhupada's books?
最后你想对奉献者说些什么来鼓励他们怎么样始终在 Krishna 知觉当中保持热情备受鼓舞总是很热情的阅读和派发圣帕巴德的书籍。
Number one, rise as early in the morning as you can and chant quality japa.
第一，清晨尽可能早的起来念诵高质量的加帕。
Number two, daily read Prabhupada's books. Read something, even if you just read one page, but read something every day.
第二，每天要研读圣帕巴德的书籍，哪怕就一页。
And number three, somehow try to give Krishna to others in a way that's appropriate for your circumstances.
第三，无论怎样，无论以哪种方式，按照你所处的环境当，对你所处的环境来说，很适宜的方式，把圣帕巴德的书籍，把 Krishna 之觉给别人。
You never know how your little effort to help one person may turn out.
你永远都无法想象你的做出的一份小小的努力把 Krishna 之觉、圣帕巴德的书给予一个人，这样一个小小的举动会带来多大的影响。
So remember, my final point is remember what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that this material world is endlessly changeable.Nothing is permanent.
最后呢，请记住，我想让大家记住 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》当中说的，这个物质世界是变化不休的，永远是变化当中的。
Krishna is eternal, Bhagavad Gita is eternal, and you are eternal.
这个物质世界没有任何东西是永恒的。但 Krishna 是永恒的，薄伽梵歌是永恒的，你是永恒的。
Everything material always changes.
一切物质的东西总是在变化之中。
Thank you so much, Devamrita Swami Maharaj, for gracing us this morning.
非常感谢 Devamrita Swami Maharaj 今天早上给我们这么多的仁慈。
And you've sharedEndless nectar.
因为我们分享了无限的甘露。
And amongst that, some very, very practical points.
其中也讲到很多很实际的要点。
How to remain inspired and committed to Prabhupada's mission.
讲到如何 始终在圣帕巴达的使命当中保持热情，备受鼓舞。
How to advance in Krishna consciousness?
如何在 Krishna 智觉当中持续进步
？And how to enthusiastically share it with others?
如何热情地和其他人去分享
？So we are all feeling very, very blessed this morning.
我们都感到非常的有福气，得到很大的祝福。
So thank you so much.
非常感谢。Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Giridhari Swami. All glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All glories to the Prabhupada.
一切荣耀归于Srila Prabhupada.
Whoa.